I'll try to get you out of here as quick as I can. I was going to teach, I've been teaching on types out of the Old Testament, the types of Christ. Last week we did the tabernacle, real interesting stuff. But I can't do that tonight. I had a study ready, and my Bible got raptured. And I took it home with me, but then we came back in the van, so I didn't bring it. So I've got something else for you. Turn to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. I want to talk to you about the Christ life. The Christ life. You know, a lot of people talk about being a Christian who really have no idea what that word really means. And I'm not being critical or mean to them. I wish they would be able to come to the knowledge of the truth and their eyes would be enlightened. I really do. But there's a lot of people that just don't understand what Christian is. So I want to take tonight, just take a few scriptures. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And the Bible says, rightly dividing the word of truth. Here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. And that's how we learn what truth is. You can't just take one verse and throw it out there on the table and say, well, that covers it all. It does not. And so tonight I want to help you understand. A lot of people quote Philippians chapter 1, parts of it, but I want to maybe go a little deeper than what they do, okay? Let's start with verse 21 in chapter 1. Verse 21 in chapter 1. Of course, the Apostle Paul, he's got a lot of age on him now. He's writing to the servants of Jesus Christ there at Philippi, and he's telling them some things about himself and what God does. And so he's giving good advice, being inspired by the Holy Ghost. Every word he wrote down was inspired by the Holy Spirit. Some people think these guys sit around and lick their pencil and just start writing letters home. That's not how this works. No, sir. Holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And God had him write it down. So let's see what God told him to tell the church at Philippi, and thereby the church at Newport can get it too. Amen? And so let's look at chapter 1. And we'll start with verse 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, boy, that's a statement right there. We just stop and preach on that all night. Amen? But let's go on. Verse 22, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose I want not. In other words, he doesn't know what to choose. He's being led by the Spirit. He's being spiritually minded, okay? Verse 23, for I'm in a strait. You ever heard anybody say they're torn between two things? They're in a strait. I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Now listen, ever since I've been saved, March 5th, 1978, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I became a new creature. I got a new mind, a new heart, a new spirit, a new direction, a new name in heaven, a new father, a new home, everything. And ever since I've been saved, I've looked forward to going to heaven. Heaven no longer, death no longer scares me. It's taking this thing out of death. I'm not worried about dying, okay? Not one bit. I might die tomorrow. I don't know. But if I do, say, he's happy now. Amen. But I've looked forward to going to heaven. And but he said, Paul's saying under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that's what he's looking forward to. He said, but it's more needful if I stay here with you, it'll benefit you. Now, let's be honest here. We don't know everything. I don't know everything. You don't know everything. There's some things that some people know that I could use. Amen. I'm 65 years old. I've been preaching since I really called in 81, licensed in 82, ordained in 83, and I've been preaching just about every Sunday ever since. And I've learned a lot of things, but you know, I hadn't arrived yet. There's still some things that older, more mature Christians can teach me. I've driven 2 or 3 hours for one sermon to get what I needed. I needed that. And I went and I found what I was looking for. And so the Apostle Paul said, now, I'm ready to go. I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited about it. But there's something more needful for you. And that is, I stay. Now, we as Christian parents ought to be able to look at our kids and say that. I'm ready to go, but I can't go till I get you straightened out. Amen. Amen. My mom used to say, I'm going to straighten you out or lay you out. Amen. Some of y'all didn't even get that, did you? On a slab, okay? All right, well, I better go. But look at this. He said, verse 25, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. He said, that's what it's going to get you. It's going to get you farther along. You'll have more joy in the faith. Verse 26, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition or hell, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here to be in me. Now the Christian life, just being saved, is not all there is to it. There's a lot more to the Christian life. Now, the average Christian nowadays has little knowledge of the Bible. If you can't put it in a tweet, they don't know it. If it can't be in, what's a tweet? 9 words or less, something like that, I don't know. But if you can't put it on a little slogan on a bumper sticker or a T-shirt or a hat, they don't know anything about it. And so the Christ life is not just saved, but trying to live it and suffering the consequences. There's consequences of that. Now, you can be saved and on your way to heaven as long as you don't bother nobody, as long as you don't try to witness or testify, as long as you don't name the name of Christ other than in a cuss word, nobody's going to bother you. You're going to be fine. But you start bringing that faith out of your mouth, and Jesus said, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And you start letting it come out of your mouth, and you're going to make enemies. And you're going to be persecuted. I'm talking about in this country where there's a church on every corner, this area right here. They'll persecute you. Now, but here's the Christian life. In Acts chapter 9, verse 6, Paul said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? On that road to Damascus, the Lord struck him down with a light, and he got blinded, and he told the Lord, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? James says, show me your faith, I'll show you my works. Faith without works is dead. Salvation's free, but there is a do in the Christian life. What would thou have me to do? Well, there's a lot of things he wants us to do. Well, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And then he said, believe and be baptized. Believe and be baptized. And then he wants you to join a local church. And he says, go and be witnesses of it. And so it's a life not only of faith, but of obedience. Obedience as a Christian. And how are you going to be obedient if you don't read the Word? You don't know what to be obedient of. But I got news for you. When you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, you will not be innocent. You didn't know because you didn't want to know. You wanted to know what football score, you found out what it was. Amen. Preach right there, preacher. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22, he said, I made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. Now, The Christian life's a life of service too. Service to others. Jesus came as a suffering servant. And he told us that the greatest among us would be the servant. Would be the greatest one. Now, if you want to find out who the spiritual people are in the circles of Christianity, find the ones that are in the background serving everybody else in that circle. You'll find the greatest Christian in there. Amen. It's a life of service. Now, we don't serve to be saved. We're serving because we are saved. We love people and we love Him and we love the church and we love other saints. So thereby, we don't mind serving you. Well, I've been to preacher conferences and stuff where you think those guys was president of the United States or the king of England or something. They got to be at the front of the line. They got to have the first dose and the biggest dose. And if you serving chicken, get out of the way. They might hurt you to be front in the front. I'm serious. The real servants of God, you'll see them at the back of the line. Amen. And watch out for these people that come to church and they want everybody else to serve them and they claim to be a good Christian. Amen. That's why going to nurse homes good for people. And by the way, if you want to serve somebody, that's the forgotten people right there. They put their mom and daddy, grandma and grandpa over in a nurse home. They forget about them because they don't want to see them sick. And then people like good Christians have to go over there and minister to them because their own family won't do it anymore. That's a servant. The servant is the guy that takes up the offering, not the guy that determines how it's to be spent. Come on, help me here. Amen, amen. The servant is the gal in the choir, not the one in the spotlight in the choir. I better go on, I can tell already. But it will mean this, if you serve others, you'll be used by people. You'll be used by people. My first pastor, Preacher Fongberry, we called him Bully, he told me this. He said, "The people, Ron, you might as well get used to it." I was going with him to visit somebody in the hospital who I did not even know who they were because they never came to church. But he said, "Ron, here's how it works. The people that do the least, attend the least, give the least, and care the least demand the most attention in your church. Might as well get used to it." He said, "The ministry is a service to people who will use you up." But that's what you call for. That's what they did to Jesus too. Amen. Amen. And in Philippians chapter 3, if you want to turn over there, verse 7, and I wrote these others down so you wouldn't have to turn there. But verse 7 says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." Now, the Christian life is a life of sacrifice. You're going to sacrifice. If you're going to live for God and you're going to do what's absolutely right and you're going to try, and nobody's going to be perfect at it, but if we're going to serve God and serve others, that's sacrifice. That's not getting up and going somewhere when you do want to get up and go somewhere, and that is getting up and going somewhere when you don't want to go there. That's service. Amen. And he said, "By love, serve one another." Well, wouldn't it be something if we had a dinner around here and people started saying, "No, I'll get yours. No, I'll get yours." Well, let me get yours. It's a life of service. And it's a life of sacrifice for others. Time, talent, treasure. He said, "What I counted gain, I now count loss." Just threw it away. It doesn't mean anything. But the good news is, Philippians 4:13 says this. Look at this, Philippians 4:13. Most of you already know it. I hear some of you over there quoting it. That's the thing about it. You get Bible believers in your church and they get ahead on your preaching. "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." The Christian life is a life of power. It's a life of power. I was telling Brother Jimmy earlier tonight, he was telling me about somebody drank and then fell down. Not going to say all that, but drank and fell down and got hurt. I said, "We used to have a boy in this church that he drank himself to death. He was on the point of death, called the family, and he barely was breathing. It was yellow. Everything was shutting down. And we anointed him with oil and prayed over him like the Bible teaches us to. And the next day he started picking up. And the next day he got a little better, and the next day he got a little better. And after a few weeks, he came to church, walked the aisle, gave his life to Christ, and now he's living back up in Pennsylvania, healthy as a horse. That's power. That's power of the Christian life. If we live for Christ like we ought to, I've walked in amongst some ungodly, wicked people, and them honor me. Because it wasn't me, they thought it was me, but it wasn't me. It was the power of God on me that they felt His presence. When you walk in that room, they'll feel the presence of God on you, and it'll scare them, and they think that's you. I said, it ain't me. It ain't me. Amen. Amen. You say, preacher, I don't believe that. Well, maybe you don't have it. I don't know. But I've seen it over and over and over and over. The power of God will show up in your life. If you get saved and you're obedient and you serve others and you do a little sacrificing, God will pour out His Spirit on you and you'll have the power of God to get your prayers answered and see things happen. Amen. Amen. Now, I got to hurry. I'm running out of time. Not going to tell you to go there, but in 2 Corinthians 6, he says, come out from among them, be ye separate, says the Lord. Now, you're not going to hear that preached at Elevation, Levitation, or Meditation Church. Amen? Come out from among them, be separate. When I got saved, I didn't look like a Christian. I didn't talk like a Christian. I didn't dress like a Christian. I didn't hang around with anybody that was a Christian. I didn't know one Bible verse. I didn't even know a hymn. I knew Amazing Grace because a pop singer made it popular back during the 60s, and they played it on the radio. One of those Carter's sister's kids. But anyway, but when you get saved, it's a life of separation. You come out from among them. And I used to tell that preacher, he'd come over to my house, Brother Jimmy, he'd say, son, you need to get saved. I said, preacher, when I quit drinking and lying and cussing and cheating and smoking and doing all this stuff, I'll come to your church and I'll get saved. And he said, son, you'll go to hell. I said, well, if I do what you want me to do, I'm going to lose every friend I got. He said, I said, I'm going to have to leave every friend I got because all of them do that stuff. He said, well, you won't have to leave them. They'll leave you. Amen. After I got saved, started talking about the Lord and going to church, got my hair cut, got me some decent clothes to put on, you know, they started treating me like I had the plague or something. They didn't want to see me. I had one old friend that would still have anything to do with me, just one. And they'd call me hypocrite and everything else. And half of them dead and in hell now, and I'm still here praising the Lord. You got to come out from among them. Look, what did that fellow say? You can't eat with the buzzards and fly with the eagles. It don't work. The eagle knows you're a buzzard if you get up there with him. He'll run you off. You can't eat with the buzzards. Eat the filth of the world and fly with the glorious eagles. Amen. And it's the same in Christianity. We've got to separate ourselves. And by the way, it is hard. At first, it's hard. But then we run up on Isaiah where he said the way of the transgressor is hard. We find out that the way we used to be was harder than the way Christ is making us. Amen? You ever heard anybody say this? I led a hard life. That doesn't mean they was poor. It meant they lived a sinful life. They led a hard life. And look, when you get saved and you start separating yourself from those people and those places and those habits and those hobbies and all this stuff, your life gets easier. It gets easier. Amen. You wake up feeling better. You go to bed feeling better. You love people back when they love you. All kind of stuff. All kind of stuff changes. When you separate, you got to separate. You say, well, I love those people. Well, you'll still love them. You just can't walk among them. They need to come to you. And finally, I told them, I said, look, I got saved. Every Sunday morning, and they used to come to my house on Sunday. I said, if you come to my house on Sunday morning, you're either going to be dressed for church and go to church with us, or you can just sit in the driveway till we get home because I'm going to church. Amen. And so you have to come out from among them, be yourself. And why would we want to run with people that blaspheme the name of our Savior anyway? Amen, amen. Now I hear people talk like that and it just makes my skin crawl. Amen, amen. I'll tell you how to scare them. get on the elevator at the hospital where nobody talks to each other. And in between the 10th and the 12th floor goes, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. They'll get off that elevator so quick it'll make your head spin. Amen. I did that one time. These black ladies joined in with me. They said, amen. That's right. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. 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 And guess what? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We got 10 minutes. I'm preaching fast. Old Brother Rick must have rubbed off on me. That boy could preach more in 5 minutes than I can do in 50 minutes. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at verse 10, if you will. 10, 11, and verse 17. Well, I'll tell you what, let's start with verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That's what we live in, an earthen vessel made out of dirt. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. In other words, they see Christ in us because we're crucifying ourselves. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest or shown forth in our mortal flesh. Now skip down to verse 17. Read it all when you get home, but skip down to verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Amen. It might be a life of suffering, but I got news for you. It's a life of rewards, too. Every time we suffer for Him, He rewards us some way for it. Amen? Amen. Now, people are going to persecute you. Get used to it. Quit listening to those TV preachers and those crooks running around here telling you if you get saved, everything's going to be easy. It's not. The good thing is you're going to have somebody to help you with it. It ain't easy now. It doesn't matter as long as you live in this world. It's not going to be easy. There's always going to be struggle. There's always going to be trial. There's always going to be tribulation. Job said, like the sparks fly upward, man's days are few and full of trouble. Every one of us. So you get saved, you'll have somebody to help you with the trouble. We're going to suffer. Sometimes, believe it or not, sickness is the will of God. It is. More than one time in the scriptures gives us that example. Sickness is the will of God. Sometimes the suffering of sickness, Brother Ron, humbles us. Sometimes it builds our faith. Sometimes it just shows others around us that true faith cannot be affected by any kind of sickness or tribulation. Matter of fact, the best testimonies you'll ever give is laying on a sick bed in the hospital. Amen. That man right there preaches to them when they come in there. But I got news for you. As a Christian, the Christian life is a life of obedience, is a life of service, and that produces a life of power and a life of sacrifice and life of separation and sometimes, yes, a life of suffering. You say, well, that ain't what Furtnick or Futnick or whatever his name said. Maybe it's Saint Nick. I don't know. But hey, I don't care what he says. You take his prosperity gospel and you put it over there in Russia right now or China where they're killing Christians. There's over 1 million people in Chinese detention camps over Christianity alone. Now let him go over and preach that to them. They'll say, you ain't suffered enough yet. Come on in here. We'll teach you how to be a real Christian. You say, well, who would want to get saved? Well, if you go back and read it, this is just a light affliction compared to what we're going to get in glory. And this doesn't last but that long. walking through the cemetery the other day, and I got looking at those headstones, and I thought he was born in 1920, he died in 1950. She was born in 1950 and died in 1980, and I just kept looking like that, and I thought to myself, just what the Bible says, our life's like a vapor. It appears for a little while, and then it vanishes away. This time of year, you can see what he's talking about. You go outside in the morning when the sun's first coming up, and all that dew on that grass, that sun hits it, and it's drawing that water back up, but you won't see it, but about that far, it'll be gone. And that's our life, about that far. My mom was over 99 years old, headed to 100, and went home to heaven. Now, we say, boy, that's a long time. Well, it really wasn't. It really wasn't. It was just like a vapor. It was a little bit longer than most, but it was a vapor. And the eternity of time, 100 years, will mean nothing. Matter of fact, people that were buried 100 years ago, nobody even knows who they are anymore. There's some right back there. We can walk back there, and I'll guarantee you nobody knows those people in those graves. Their relatives don't even know they're in there. And I don't care what kind of tombstone you get, and that's you, Tracy. You're doing a good job. And I don't care what kind of tombstones you guys put up. 100 years from now, nobody will even know that person they're reading about on that tombstone. They'll be forgotten. Because life is just a short thing. 100 years is nothing with God. And you run around here at 20 or 30 years old and think you're invincible and you ain't never going to die. Well, I got news for you. In just a little while, your vapor is going to vanish away just like everybody else's did. And I don't care if you live to be 100. That still ain't long. You remember when you was 10, 20 was old? You remember when you was 20, 30 was old? You remember when you was 30, 40 was old? You remember after you got up 40, you said, man, I don't want to live to be old. That's what we'd say. We'd say, I don't want to live to get old and crotchety and sick. And then you get up to about 70, you say, Lord, let me live long as I can. Lord, I want to break 100, Lord. They'll put my face in the paper. He broke 100 before he died. Amen. But your life's like a vapor. Your life's like a vapor. And all of life has suffering. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Turn there with me if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Got this preacher down here on the front quoting scripture all over the place. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. That'll mess a man up, I tell you. 1 Corinthians. Here's one thing I like. He sits up on the front every once in a while. He'll say, preach another one. I don't know if that means he don't like the one I'm preaching. Or he actually wants me to preach another one. First Corinthians. First time I went to see Vera Mercer, Shirley's sister, she said, I am so happy to meet you. She said, I've heard a lot about you, but I don't know anything about you. I said, what do you mean? She said, well, I asked Shirley what you preached Sunday, and she said, I don't know, but he sure was funny. She said, another time I asked her, well, what did he preach Sunday night? She said, I don't know, but he loves his wife. He loves his family. He makes me laugh. Well, a little bit more to it than that, amen? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look at verse 51. Well, start with 50. Now this I say, brethren, that's other believers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. That's this flesh we got here. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, that means die or be dead, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. That's that trumpet sound, the last one that'll ever sound. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now listen, listen to this. Well, this corruptible, this body you got, you say, mine ain't corruptible. Oh, yeah, you'll have the flu for the weeks out or a sinus infection or you'll get a cavity. And I tell girls, don't get so excited about that boy, you know. All boy babies are the same. They come in naked, wrinkled, bald-headed, and toothless, and they leave the world the same way they came in it. Don't get too excited about no boy. Amen? Now, you listen to me. You're going to be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal, that means it's not going to live forever, must put on immortality to live forever. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, because the wages of sin is death. And the strength of sin is the law, because the law condemns sin. Verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is also a life of victory. We got the victory. Now, don't feel sorry for me. I'm a winner. Listen, I'm going to live long as God lives. I am. He gave me that promise. He said, many come to me, I'll give unto them what? Eternal life. And they shall what? Never perish. Amen. And no man can pluck them out of my hand, he said. My hand's in the Father's hand. You're in my hand. My hand's in the Father's hand. No man can pluck you out. Now, it's also a life of victory. Now, we may look like we're on the bottom, but we're headed to the top. And every headstone you fellas put up, I want you to remember this. There's somebody down there, but they ain't staying there. They're coming up either to go to heaven, or they're coming up to be judged how much they're going to be punished in heaven. Hell, nobody stays in the grave. God didn't make this body to dry up and blow away in dust in the grave. He knows where every bit of that dust is. He's got the hairs on our head number. He puts our tears in a bottle in heaven so he can remember them. Now, let me tell you something. We have the victory. This is the victory. What's the victory? That overcometh the world, even our faith. That's it. Our faith gives us the victory. Now, that doesn't mean everybody's got the same amount of faith. But the faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to save you from your sins and to take you to heaven when you die. That's the faith that gives you the victory over death, hell, and the grave. We've got the victory over all three of those. Now, it may not appear look that way right now, those folks over there in those nursing homes. They may not look like they got the victory, but I got news for you. The Bible says that the outward man's dying every day, but the inner man's being renewed every day. And that strength's getting stronger. And you never find old people that trusted Christ when they were younger that got less faith. As they go along, they get more and more faith. So at the end, God gives them the faith to die by. That's the Christian life. Now, this world's not my home. I'm just passing through. I ain't even parking here alone. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory. If we by His power, if we live by His power, sacrifice, serve, suffer, separate, He'll give us the power to get up out of that grave. That's Christ's life. It's more than just saying a little prayer. It's more than being baptized. It's more than quitting smoking. It's more than quitting drinking. It's more than quitting drugging. It's more than quitting adultery or homosexuality, whatever it is that bugs you. It's more than that. Now, those are awful things, but those are just signs of something on the inside. But let me tell you something. If you give your life to Christ, He will change your life, and it'll no longer be yours, it'll be His. And I am so glad, because I made a mess out of it when it was mine. And every once in a while I don't mean to, but I try to take it out of His hand, I mess up again. I got to keep submitting. Keep submitting. I got to keep repenting. I got to keep praying. I got to keep saying, God, I've come short again today. I'm living by the law of the flesh and not the law of the Spirit. And every day, but you know, every day is, what does that old song say? Every day is sweeter. Amen. Do you have the Christ life? Now, this Wednesday night Bible study, most of you say you're saved, and you went to extra trouble to get here on Wednesday night. You know, you're not just a Sunday morning Christian. You want to go farther. You want to do more. You want to get closer. And so, listen, here's the word, and I'm through. It's finished. There's nothing else you can do to be more saved than you are right now. So why don't you just submit to the salvation and live the Christ life?
Yes, sir.
Let's stand. Father, thank you for your inner.